This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice, featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are speaking with Dr. Michael Clinton, plastic surgeon and founder of Clinton Plastic Surgery, located in Birmingham, Alabama. He is here to speak with us about mommy makeovers. Dr. Clinton, a pleasure to have you with us today on the program.
Great to be here, Eric.
And great to have you out with us this morning. So tell us, for those that aren't familiar, what exactly is a mommy makeover?
Well, you know, it's interesting when we use the term, we usually don't have to explain it to people because it relates so well to that group of ladies who've had multiple pregnancies and experienced some of the impact of that, whether it's their breasts, their body, their tummy. That term mommy makeover tends to connect well, tends to describe what they're after, and we usually don't even have to explain it, but it is a process. It's a process. It's a collection of different procedures that we do that's used to address the impact, the issues that people have from multiple pregnancies.
And Dr. Clinton, what are some of the different procedures that can be involved in a mommy makeover?
Well, usually it's between the three of breast, body, and tummy. And with the breast, there's usually a loss of volume after ladies lose their pregnancy weight. And that usually results in some drippiness to the breast. So adding volume is usually part of what we do. Sometimes even doing a lift to reshape the breast. So it's either adding volume or lifting or doing a combination of those things. With the tummy, the standard tummy tuck is something that we do frequently to address people that want a mommy makeover. Lots of these patients have had cesarean sections, and maybe even some have had hysterectomies, and they have scars on their tummies already. We can incorporate that scar and use it to tighten the skin of the tummy. Sometimes the muscle integrity of the tummy has been affected by pregnancy and multiple pregnancies. It tends to spread those muscles apart, and it's kind of tough to get a tight, flat tummy unless you go in at the time of a tummy tuck and actually correct that separation between the muscles. That is part of a tummy tuck for us, standard approach. Sometimes all they need is a lipoplasty type technique, something that reduces fat. We have multiple different approaches for that, multiple different techniques. We offer all of those techniques. We don't think one is just best for everybody. We should be applying the technique that patient needs to get the best result. And in most patients, it's a combination of tummy tucking and lipoplasty to get the best abdominal result. Now, the body sculpting part comes in with the thighs and the upper and lower back, sometimes the upper arms. And those are most commonly approached and addressed with lipoplasty alone.
Also, can all procedures be performed together, or is it better to have them done individually?
Well, Eric, the answer for that is different from patient to patient. I would say typically we do multiple procedures in patients that are good candidates for it. We do encounter patients that their breast issues alone would take us most of the day to approach and address. And in those cases, you wouldn't want to do multiple procedures. But for most of our patients that are good candidates, doing their breast and tummy and some body sculpting can be done on the same day as long as they're otherwise healthy patients.
Today we are speaking with Dr. Michael Clinton, plastic surgeon and founder of Clinton Plastic Surgery in Birmingham, Alabama, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Also, Dr. Clinton, what is the recovery process like here, and are there any side effects or complications that one should expect?
Well, I think the recovery process is found to be surprisingly short. Typically for our patients, we see them all back the next day. We take off some light bandages. We talk to them again about their recovery process, what they can and cannot do. And typically they're up walking the night of surgery. They're in the shower either the first or second day after surgery. They drive as soon as they're not taking narcotics for pain. That's usually a day or two. For the first week, no vigorous activity, no heavy lifting, no straining at things. And that tends to, I think, communicate the biggest part of what we want them to do in that first week, and that is not to strain. After that, we say, if it hurts, don't do it. If it doesn't hurt, just be cautious for another couple of weeks. They're typically 90% healed after about 3 weeks. 80% of their swelling's gone after about 2 weeks. Usually at the 6 week point, most of our patients say, I've had time during the day today that I really forgot that I ever had anything done. So it's a surprisingly quick recovery. But at the same time, we encourage patients to make plans to be able to accommodate their recovery process. Don't place themselves in situations where they have to go back to work too early or have to take care of small children too early. Have a good support system, and that will give them the best chance of a good recovery. Side effects, this is, or complications, this is real surgery. It's elective surgery, so it needs to be low risk, but it's not no risk. There's nothing that anyone does that's no risk. And if patients are being led to believe that there's no risk involved, then they need to quietly excuse themselves and find someone that'll be honest with them. But it needs to be very low risk. To put it in perspective, the risk of a severe complication is much less than the risk of having a motor vehicle accident on their way to see their doctor. That's a much higher risk than a severe complication would be. The other things that happen with real surgery are things like hematoma, infection, scarring, asymmetries, tissue loss, things like that that can happen with any surgical process, but those are extraordinarily low. And they typically are things that can be addressed with minor touch-ups. And we're committed to stay the course with our patients in an attempt to get them to a point where they're very satisfied with what they've done.
And most helpful response there. Now, what makes a person a good candidate for a mommy makeover surgery? Is there anything that would make a person a bad candidate in these regards?
Well, they need to be a mommy. And that may seem a trite comment, but usually it's ladies who've had multiple pregnancies who've experienced that weight gain, weight loss, that stretching, that contracting multiple times. I mean, do we see people who've had five kids and you can't tell? Yeah, we do. But typically we see two to three or females who've had two to three pregnancies who have experienced changes with the first, more severe with the second, and so on. This group tends to be in their late 30s, early 40s, and have had two to three pregnancies and are starting to live healthy and have adopted a healthy lifestyle, diet and exercise, and that has resulted in a healthy weight. They're close to their weight goals. Those are good candidates because they tend to be healthier patients that are lower risk patients. They need to have changes that are addressed by the procedures that we do. And that would be smaller, deflated, droopy breasts, skin on their tummy that just won't tighten with their weight loss. Maybe even that scar that we described before that could be incorporated and used to help tighten that. Some laxity of their abdominal muscles. And then have fat in areas, especially on the thighs and back, that just don't respond to diet and exercise. So that describes a good candidate. If you just, if you want to describe the person who's not a good candidate, you just take the antithesis of that, the counter to that. Somebody who's 50 to 60 pounds overweight and wants to use this as a weight loss plan, that's not a good candidate. A patient who has poorly managed diabetes, blood pressure, heart problems, anemia, unusual clotting issues, even a history of deep vein thrombosis, those kinds of things don't make them a very good candidate, make them a much higher risk, and an elective surgery may not be the best thing for them. But those things can be managed, and those we can refer those patients to medical doctors that can help make them a better candidate, and they can be reevaluated at some point in the future.
Well, Dr. Clinton, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you on the program and appreciate all the helpful insight and information on Mommy Makeovers. Where can listeners get more information on your practice there in Birmingham, Alabama?
ClintonPlasticSurgery.com is a great website, and they can feel free to call us. We have staff that actually answer the phones, and real people will respond to questions, and we get lots of questions over the phone and over the internet. And I love sharing what we do and love educating our patients. And we think that when they're properly educated as to what we can do, they make good decisions. And we love to be a part of that, that process.
Well, keep doing the great work that you're doing there in Birmingham, Alabama. Thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio, and all the best.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for me also.
And let's do it again. We've been speaking with Dr. Michael Clinton, plastic surgeon and founder of Clinton Plastic Surgery in Birmingham, Alabama. And for all the details, visit ClintonPlasticSurgery.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.